بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Some Nabi had passed by a rock that was crying. So he inquired from the rock, why is it crying? So it replied that it was because of the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Since it has heard, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, that the fuel of Jahannam will be people and stones. So it began to cry. Perhaps it also may be amongst the stones that will be the fuel of Jahannam. So this Nabi had made dua to Allah Ta'ala that it must be protected against the fire of Jahannam. The Nabi made dua and dua was answered. Sometimes later he passed by again, and again he sees the thing crying. So now he inquired that, now you're safe from Jahannam, then what makes you cry? So he says, before I had cried out of the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Now I'm crying out of His love. So this effort is driven towards infusing that love into the heart. Once that love has been infused in that heart, then this vehicle moves very comfortably. You don't have a problem, you don't have any difficulty. With a lot of ease, you just carry on moving, automatic. Jigar Muradabadi, initially, used to be perpetually in a state of drunkenness. Khaja Madzub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh would go on that end and visit him sometimes. He was one of the popular poets of India. So in his run, sometimes he would just come across him. Now on the one end, he's perpetually in the state of drunkenness. So once he says to Hazrat Khaja Madzub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, with a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow, that this is my pitiable condition. Otherwise, my heart was longing to meet Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But in this state, how can I ever go and meet him? So Khaja Sahib also supports him. Yes, in this state is not the appropriate thing that you go and meet such a great saintly person. When you have got such filthy habits, then how can you meet such a pure person in this state? Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah related this to Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, ke I met up with Jigar and this is the discussion that we had. So Muhammad says, मैं तो समझ गया था कि तुम समझ रहे थे, समझदार आदमी है. I thought that you were already an understanding person. तो खाजा साहब asked, then what should the reply have been? So Mawlana said that the reply should have been, whatever the condition, come, whatever the state may be, just come. Perhaps your mulaqat and your meeting may be a means of your tawbah and a means for you taking a turn in your life. So Khaja Sahib had gone to that inn again after some time, and he related this. When he related this, Jigar began to cry uncontrollably, and he says, now come what may, I must go and meet the man. So he came up to Tanabon afterwards and grieving over his condition, and he asked permission if he could read some couplets to Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. He read some poetry, and Maulana also gave him an applaud for some of his poetry. And he told him that there's one poetry of yours, it's so beautiful, it's not my habit to give any person, any poet, any gift. It's not my habit to give a poet a gift. But if it was my habit to give a poet a gift, I would have given a lakh, 100,000 for this, like a million, that zamana. So, Jigar wanted to know, what is that poet? So he says, Mere qadam bhi kisi ke qadam ka sadaqa hai, ye qadam uthte nahi hai, uthaya jate hai. Meri talab bhi kisi ke karam ka sadaqa hai, ye qadam uthte nahi hai, uthaya jate hai. This longing that I have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not of my own. This longing that I have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not my own achievement. Rather, kisi ka karam ka sadaqa, it is the dua of someone. Someone is making dua. And this is the reality. Many a times, people benefit from the Ahlullah. Sometimes they don't realize that it is on account of the Ahlullah that they benefit. And most of the times, the Ahlullah also don't know that people are deriving benefit from them. Like you see the splendor of the sun, people are enjoying and people are benefiting. Right? The sun doesn't know who it is spreading its light to and who it isn't. But overall people are benefiting. There are people that acknowledge and people that do not acknowledge. But this thing goes on to pass its radiance, goes on to plus its splendor. And people also don't realize that they are enjoying this. So both ways it happens. Sometimes the Ahlullah also do not know that people are benefiting from them. And sometimes people also do not realize that they are enjoying from these Ahlullah. But that benefit is going. So when he mentioned this, and thereafter he took a turn in his life. The life had taken a turn from one end to the other end. He became very seriously ill because he just chucked that habit, drinking and whatever else. He just chucked it completely. When he chucked it suddenly, now he for years he was in this thing here, and he just chucked it overnight. So his body couldn't take it. And he became very seriously ill, became fatal, between life and death now, that type of condition. So some of his friends told him, see, when it's a death-threatening condition, then you can take some just to save your life, just to take some alcohol just to save your life. Like how blood transfusion, the blood in itself is napak, it's haram. But if it's a death-threatening situation, just to save your life, you can take. So the answer that he gives, that is something to marvel at. He says that if it is not decreed for me to die now, then why must I take it? If it is not decreed for me to die, I won't die. Whether I take it or I don't take it, I won't die. So why must I take it? And if it's decreed for me to die now, then why must I die with a napaki in my mouth? If it's decreed for me to die, then why must I die with a napaki in my mouth? See? So you see, when that love comes in, that khuda ki mahabbat, that love of Allah Ta'ala comes in, then everything is dropped by the way. Anything and everything, everything is forgotten. So the struggle is until that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails over everything else. There is no doubt that every mu'min has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot deny and you cannot reject the fact that a Muslim has the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what he may be. And I commonly quote this, that the proof of a mu'min having the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, no matter how bad that Muslim may be, but if you offer him, and you tell him, alright, you miss out one Jummah namaz, and I will give you £1 trillion, right? Only for one Jummah namaz. Or 1 billion trillion pounds I give you for missing this one Jummah namaz. He's not prepared to accept the offer. Though he can see that in that 1 billion trillion, you can build so many masjids, so many orphanages, so many madrasas, so many people he can support and send them for Hajj. But he doesn't want to take on this bargain. And the simple reason is that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so deeply rooted in his heart that he doesn't want to take anything else. He doesn't want to bargain for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? So, the love of Allah ta'ala is there. But now we want to bring it to such a level that that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails over everything else. Now, then we can say that iman is the true iman. That love is the true love. One buzurg is on his deathbed and he says to his khadim that when I die, then this is the line that I want you to read. Muflisam amadem darkuetu. Muflisam amadem darkuetu. Shay'an lillah as jamal ruetu. How beautiful. I think sometime we should include this in our du'as. Muflisanem amadem darkuetu. Shay'an lillah as jamal ruetu. He says, I've come, as a beggar I've come to your castle, to your threshold. I've come to your threshold as a beggar. Man says that after my death, this must be read, I've come to your threshold as a beggar. Shay'an lillah as jamal ruwatu. I ask you on account of the beauty of your countenance, give me something. Just give me something, just on account of the beauty of your countenance. How touching these words are. That's why they say that the Arabic language has got a lot of awe in it. It's magnificent. It's a magnificent language. A lot of awe and a lot of dignity in it. You don't see where the Imam brings the khutbah, Alhamdulillah, with a lot of awe, a lot of magnanimity, a lot of power, right? But Persian has got a fire in it. It is the language of the fire worshippers, so it's got fire in it. So when you keep reading this thing, it fires you up. See the words, how beautiful the words are. It says, Muflisanim amadem dar kuvetu. Shay'an lillah as jamal ruwetu. I ask you something on the beauty, on account of the beauty of your countenance, give me something. So that must be, when you're presenting yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't present yourself, Allah ta'ala, these are my achievements. There is so much of namaz, so much of roza, and so many things I've done. You don't talk about your achievements. Because the achievements are also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where did the achievements come? They also came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really, what you want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just His grace. You can't, there isn't a single thing that you can present that is worthy of acceptance. It's not at that level. Yes, what can enshroud you is His love. What can enshroud you is His grace. What can enshroud you and cover you is His bounty. So this is what you need to ask for. And more especially in these Mubarak nights, you know, this is what you need to ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I ask you, I come here to ask you for your grace. Your forgiveness and your grace. It is a recommended thing that we read these stories of this awliya. Someone inquired, what was the need of reading the stories of this awliya kiram and buzurgan adin? So it says, see, the Quran Sharif says, كُلَّن نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. قلن نقص عليك من انباء الرسل ما نثبت به فؤادك. But we relate to you the incidents of these Ahlullah in order to strengthen your heart. Right? In order to strengthen your heart, give your heart that stability, give it that drive. Why do we read it? We read them out in order to strengthen your heart. So, likewise, when we recite the stories of these awliya-i-kiram, this Buzurgan-e-Deen, this Mashayikh, then there is a charge that comes into our heart. Our heart gets fired up. Our hearts get that stability and that strength, become strong. Okay? Otherwise, we don't have that charge. We don't have that strength in us. And when we read these things, then we think to ourselves, all right, they did so much, and they did this, and they did this, they were so great. And really, they were the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they were the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading the story of love creates love. When you read the stories of love, then it creates love. I remember when I was a child, 9, 10, 11 years of age, so one old man, a regular musalli of the masjid, so he asks me, okay, don't you go to the bioscope? So, no, I don't go. We're not allowed to go to the bioscope. He's a regular musalli, but poor chap, he was jahil, ignorant person, so he doesn't know. He's telling me in good faith. So, you know what? You must go to the bioscope, man. You must go. At that time, it was considered as a serious sin, serious offense to go to a cinema or bioscope. Generally, people didn't encourage their children to go to these places. So then he's telling me, if you don't want to go, then how are you going to make love with your wife? You must learn how to do it. Now see that mind goes weird. The mind goes weird, then you begin to think like that. But what I'm telling you is, when you read about love, then you want to love. When you talk about love, and you talk about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that love is infused in your heart. You want to do something. You also feel like crying, you feel like tearing, and you want to move on that line. But that is when you read the stories of these awliya-i-kiram, these Buzurgan-e-Deen and these Mashayikh. Their contributions, their achievements, their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was at a different level. What a level the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was at. Shaykh Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah alayh, his love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was at a very high level, very, very high level. He is the contemporary of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. So one person comes for his Islah and Reformation to Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh, and Sayyid Sahib rahmatullah tells him, looks at him for some moments and says, no, I don't think there's a place for you at my place. Because when he saw this person, he felt that there's no room for this person. In other words, he's gone far, far astray, so far astray, that for him to come back on the road may be impossible. So when Sayyid Sahib rahmatullah read him and saw him, then he felt he's too far advanced. Like how a doctor will see someone, right, and he's in the third degree cancer, the last degree in cancer. When he's in that last degree cancer, so the normal surgeon or specialist, what will he say? Say, "Boy, eat what you want, enjoy yourself, carry on." That's what he'll say, isn't it? Because now he knows that he's a write-off now. He's too far progressed in this illness. So similarly, the spiritual doctors, when they see a person, then they will read the person's, all right, this person is too far progressed in the wrong. For him to come back may be an impossibility. So he tells him, no, I don't think that I've got a place for you in my place. Anyway, this person, lamenting and sorrowful, he came up to Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullahi. He's also a Sayyid, he's also from the family of Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi comes from that same family. Both from the same family. And when Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullahi sees him, he says, well, we all are sinners. And who knows, Allah Ta'ala will just make a room for us. I'm wrong, you are wrong, we're all wrong. We'll try, and maybe Allah Ta'ala will just make a room for all of us. And then he walked on the man, After some time he came right. The man came back to the Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jah. So he said, no woman, this can only be the capacity of the Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Sahib. By Sayyid Ahmad Rifai ka kaam hai. Only he can do such a thing. He's got that capacity. That man was so far advanced, he brought him back. Third degree, you know, the last degree cancer he had, and he brought him back onto the line. Now this is his work. So this Sayyid Ahmad Rifai rahmatullah alayh, he had come to Madina Munawara. And right at the Rozay Mubarak, he recited some couplets. في حالة البعد روحي كنت أرسلها تقبل الأرض عني وهي نائبتي فهذه دولة الأشباح قد حضرت. He says, when I was living at home in Baghdad, wherever else I was living there, then I couldn't present myself in person to you, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But nonetheless, I should send my soul to you. That my soul may just offer my salams to you. I was living there, and there was a distance over 1,000 kilometers. So I couldn't come to you in person. When I couldn't come to you in person, I should send my soul, my feelings were with you. That it comes as my representative and offer the salams at your side. فَهَذِي دَوْلَةُ الْأَشْبَاحِ قَدْ حَضَرَتْ. Now I have come in person. From دُدْيَدَكْ. So, O Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now place out your hand that I may kiss it. He couldn't contain his love. His love now was fired up. Fired up to that point where he couldn't control it. He couldn't hold it any longer. Allah Pak grant us that love. That we have that type of love. That love. This love also is at two levels, you see. One is at the level, they call it Mahabbat-e-Aqli. Mahabbat-e-Aqli, in other words, your love is based on reasoning, understanding. It's love with understanding. Right? So you've got love, but love with understanding, so everything is done with understanding, right? And the second love is that love that is tab'i. One is aqli, and now it's tab'i. Now it's natural love. That natural love is like irresistible love. That you can't resist. You can't hold on any longer. Right? Like when you talk of love or something, right? Or there's a thing that you are really, really pleased about. Right? Really excited. Really excited about something. For example, it was your son that took part in the Olympics and he came out first. Then you burst out laughing, don't you? You'll burst out laughing, you'll cry out of joy, right? So that's a moment that you can't contain yourself. Now you see, this man say, hey, wait, just cool down. You can't contain yourself. It's love, and you need to express it at that time. So it's irresistible love. Now, which love is better, that aqli or tabi? That's what they ask, which love is better? There's a difference between ulama-i kiram, and they say, which love is greater love? Which love is superior love? That which is natural and irresistible, or that which is with understanding? I'm sure Mawlana Ahmad will say, no, irresistible love. So some ulama say that's irresistible love. But most say, no, it's that love that comes with understanding. And the reason for it is that as long as you're in this world, right, you have to do everything within parameters, everything within borders, parameters, limits. You can't go beyond the limit. Now imagine if your love is irresistible, you can't hold yourself. Then you'll just read namaz one way, no stop. You can't be concerned about the wife, the family, children, etc. You can't be worried about it. Why? Your love is uncontrollable. You can't resist your love. So someone is going to be hurt, someone is going to be injured. Right? Like I explained, Almarhum Thani Sahib Rahmatullah's grandfather, right? So initially when he started off, then that love was at that level, irresistible, natural love. Until the mother-in-law, went and told that Busruk by just telling him to moderate that love. So he made dua and the love was moderated. But the grandfather, he felt very, very offended. Hey, you robbed me, deprived me. What treasure I had, you robbed me of my treasure. He felt he robbed him of the treasure. But really wasn't robbing him, it's to moderate him. So that he can continue now. He needs to be with the wife, with the children, give some time here, there, wherever else. But now he's going to be on the musalla all the time, roza all the time. And this of the Isha, and straight away he's gone to tahajjud all night. So what's going to happen? It's going to be difficult. So this is for that type of person, not people like us, where we say, inna li zawjika alayka haqqa, your wife also has a right. It's for that class of people who's gone one way. You understand? The wife can't say, you know, inna li zawjika alayka haqqan. You know, I also have a right, so you must take me to the Bergs, take me to wherever else, right? Yeah, it was for those people that went right beyond the extremes, that inna li zawjika alayka haqqa. Yeah, you're going, taking them Bergs, taking them everywhere, and still they're not satisfied, really, something wrong, right? Anyway, just before he can pass away, so this Buzur came back, and the type of burning love, that irresistible, natural love, he passed it on again. When he passed it on again, now he couldn't contain himself again. Again he's exerting himself one way. Until now that fatal moment came of him leaving this world. Like we have it now, the woman folk, aunties, sisters, mothers, our own wife, and they're crying, wailing away. Now he is in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he's waiting for that moment. He's waiting for the moment because he knows now death is just that bridge that has to be crossed until the beloved. So he's anxious. He wants to cross that bridge because he's seeing the beloved on the other side and he's on this side. See? Imagine to yourself, just imagine that you know you are 22 years of age and you're married, right? And This with marriage, right? They send you out in Jamaat 2 years. Just imagine, right? You came back after the 2 years and they say you must cross that bridge, then you'll reach there. What will happen? See, if you have to wait for that ferry, 1 mile ferry, you have to wait for that. You cross, forget the ferry, you'll swim across. It's irresistible. 2 years. They made you make sabr for 2 years. Now are you going to make any sabr any longer? It's irresistible, especially if a person didn't go through all this, all this fantasies and all that. You know, he didn't misuse himself. He didn't misuse himself at all. Nothing, no misuse, no abuse of cell phone, whatever else. And he guarded himself. He guarded his chastity, his respect, everything. No fantasizing, no selling, nothing at all. Now, man is told now, just wait a little bit more, you know, by enough now. He don't listen to anything, he wants to move. It's irresistible. So when he heard those family people crying all around, so he pulled off the sheet from his head, and he says, Are zalimo, kisi ko marne bhi nahi dete. How cruel of you people, you know. How unkind of you people that you don't let a man die as well. How unkind of you people that you don't even let a man die. Now see the statement of love. He's in love now, he's in a different world. How unkind of you people that you don't even let a person die. When he shouted them, they all kept quiet now. Hazrat is angry now, they all kept quiet. He put the sheet over his head and quietly he died, finished. Now they put up the sheet, see, man is gone, finished. So this is that love. So when they make that decision of which love is better, they say, for your entire duration of your life, then you need to have that love with understanding and reasoning. But as you're approaching death, then that irresistible love, then you will, you know, like you're running the marathon, and that last leg now, the last leg you'll put all your energy. But before that, you have to just maintain the energy so that you can complete that 70 Ks, right? But in that last leg, whatever stamina you've got, you have to burn out all that stamina in that last leg. So that is that last leg, where you put that irresistible love. Therefore they say, you know, where is it better to live and die, Makkah or Madinah Munawwara? So there are a lot of arguments both ways, you know, Makkah or Madinah Munawwara, where? So the Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi, although he was not a formal alim, but Allah Pak had given him such understanding, something beyond. He took a decision. He says, the life of Makkah is better. The life at Makkah Mukarramah is better. Why? Because one namaz is multiplied 100,000 over, right? And the death at Medina is better. Because those that die in Medina Munawwara, they will be the first to be resurrected, first to be gathered with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, going with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam into Jannat. They'll be the first people. So the life is better here, and the death is better here. But now, the reconciliation is so beautiful. Makkah and Medina Munawwara. Makkah living and Medina Munawwara, the death. Allah grant us that. I said, at least, if we don't get that opportunity, at least we have that love. We die asking Allah Ta'ala that love. And who knows, Allah Ta'ala can just join us up. You know, like I explained early on, for Allah Ta'ala to join us up, to transfer us, is not impossible. Is it impossible? We would like to die there in Medina Munawwara. But if it's not decreed for us, right? For Allah Ta'ala to transfer our bodies, is it difficult? Now you find a lot of people, like Pakistanis, are not getting, they die, and they transfer their bodies to Karachi and all that. So if people can do it, can Allah Pak do it? We hear about it all the time. Don't we hear about it? We hear about it all the time. They insist on the body and the corpse must be taken to Karachi, taken here, wherever else. They do it all the time. So if people can do it, you think Allah can't do it? Allah can do it. Allah got no limitations. But the condition is show that love. That love, read that Durood Sharif and follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the minutest detail. Anything small, big, but how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it? What was his way? You hear about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my Ustad, my Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, used to be teaching me Mishkat Sharif. And I just say, you know, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, and you just see the tears going down his cheeks. The love was so much. Love was so much. You just talk about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he's just crying one way. He's teaching when he's crying. He can't control himself. You know, I long for that type of love. That type of love these people had. So anyway, we're talking about this Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullahi. And he had to just say this, stretch out your hand. His love was so to such a level. Nabi Sam has also acknowledged his love. And the hand just came out. The hand just came out. The whole Masjid Nabawi all illuminated, everything. Approximately 10,000 people were present, they all seen. They seen this. Anyway, everything had ended. When it ended, this was his karamat. So he saw that now I'm going to get a lot of popularity. People are going to respect me. You know? And that's what we are waiting for. Nowadays, we're waiting for that stage, a little bit of radio station, a little bit of recognition coming this channel or this whatever radio, whatever else. Allah Pak save us from all these things. Popularity, publicity, it's not love. Love is different. Love is a secret thing. It's a secret affair. You don't want the third person to know about it. It's just between me and the beloved. No third person knows about it. So as long as it's a secret, then you enjoy it. But once it becomes public news, then it's not love afterwards. Then it's just an act. You know, like you see the films and bioscopes, right? So the love that they make in the film is just an act, isn't it? Is it real? Shah Rukh Khan, all that, is it real? It's not real. It's just playing, do this and I do this, make this movement here, put some red ink and keep it as blood, you know. So this is all play. We all know it's just drama. It's just an act. So love is real. See, love is real. So when he saw this, he said, no. Now there's going to be a lot of publicity and a lot of popularity. So I need to just discipline myself and correct myself. So he went to the masjid and he announced that whoever has witnessed this, then I beseech him that he must place his foot on my neck before he leaves the masjid. People saw this now. This is not this. Wali of Allah Ta'ala, this is what he said. And we must do this. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayh, when he was also there, but he didn't do it. So they asked him, why didn't you do it? Didn't he say that he beseeches and he instructs that everybody should do it? Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah says, you look to Andhete. These people were blind. They don't know what they were doing, to what type of a person they were doing this. They don't know. You think I am blind as well. Had I put my foot onto his neck, I would have been broken to pieces. What a great wali, and I must do this to him. So Allah Pak has given me the sight to see this person. They don't know what they are doing. So Allah Pak has overlooked them. But I have got the eyes to see it. If I am doing it, then it's going to be a problem. They asked him then, didn't you envy that moment when that hand came out? Didn't you envy that moment? He says, what are you talking of, me envying that moment? Even the malaika in the heavens were envying that moment. The malaika were envying that moment. So you see this love, this muhabbat. So a simple way to achieve this muhabbat, one is to emulate the way of Rasulullah Paksam, every minute detail. One is to sit in the Ahlullah's company. One, number three is, whatever good actions we are doing, to have that niyat, I'm doing it for your love. Making zikr, Quran, Sharif, tilawat, Allah Ta'ala for your love, I'm doing it. Nothing else, only for your love. Forget the dreams and all that. Don't talk about dreams and some supernatural experiences and all that. Just do it for the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And number four, then ask and beg Allah Ta'ala for His love and the love of His Nabi Sam. Inni as'aluka hubbak wa hubba rasulik. Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that it's such an important ingredient in your spiritual life, like this material life requires material sustenance, right? Your physical life requires, for the continuity of your physical life, what do you require? Physical sustenance. Bread, food, whatever else you need. But you can't continue, right? Similarly, the hadith says, اللهم ارزقني حبك وحب رسولك وحب من ينفعني حبك. Allah Ta'ala, sustain me with your spiritual love. Sustain me. That means your spirituality can't continue without this love. Like there, your physical couldn't continue with spiritual sustenance, with physical sustenance. Your spiritual self cannot continue without spiritual sustenance. Do you see that? Your physical self, can it continue? I ask you to go on fasting for 20 days on and without eating in between. Can't manage. So it's exactly the same. Your spiritual self can't sustain itself without spiritual love. So therefore, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says the dua, not just, Allahumma inni asaluka hubbak, Allahumma rzuqni hubbak. Allah, sustain me with your love. Sustain me with the love of your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sustain me with the love of those that love you. So after Faraz namazes, can't we make this dua? Allah, sustain me with your love. Sustain me with the love of your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sustain me with the love of those that love you. And allow that love to prevail over the love of all things. Everything, the most dearest thing to me, allow this love to prevail over every other love. We are human beings, we love things, good things in this life, everybody loves, right? But, O Allah Ta'ala, allow your love and love of Nabi Sassam to permeate, to prevail over every other love. Every other love. When it comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I don't want to entertain anything. Not negotiable. Why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this? It's not negotiable. Interest, not negotiable. Gambling, not negotiable. This haram business, no, not negotiable. Why? No. I don't want to compromise that love. That love is too dear to me. It's too expensive. I can't negotiate this. Everything else can be negotiated, but that can't be negotiated. By, think to yourself, by, on the occasion of Hajjatul Wida, the occasion of Hajjatul Wida, when Rasulullah Paksam was offering that qurbani of those animals, they see approximately 100 that he offered, right? And those animals were coming themselves, they were rushing themselves. They were rushing themselves that they may be offered first. So their love for Nabi Sallam was so great. Imagine the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the name of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the cause of Allah Ta'ala, and my life is going. So who won't want that? Who won't want that? At the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your life is going. In the cause of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Your life is going. Who won't want that? So the camels that were being offered, they also understood that what a precious moment, what an opportunity. They were actually exceeding with each other. What is the wording of the hadith? Anybody knows? Nobody knows. At that occasion, they quoted in the hadith as well, these wordings, you know, they, ayyuhuma, which one is going first? Which one is going first and giving, offering his life? So that also had the love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You hear of that Ustuwana, Hannana, that pillar that cried, right? Cried only on the separation of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi was still there. But that thing had the support, the Rasulullah should take support with it, right? He should take support with it. He moved from that onto the mimbar, and that thing cried and cried and cried, like how a child cries, you know how it sobs, that thing began to sob and cry. Just because of the separation of Islam, that little bit of separation. So, a thing that would seem to be lifeless, a thing that would seem to be without any intelligence and understanding, a camel, that Ustuwana is a lifeless thing, right? And this camel would seem to me, or to us also, as a thing without understanding. That thing's love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was so great, then what should be our love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi for Allah Ta'ala's Nabi, and for Allah Subhanahu, what should be our love be like? So that's the fifth thing, it's truly four things, how to harness this love. And the fifth thing, how do we harness the love, is in our quiet moments, we think, we meditate, we reflect over Allah Ta'ala's favors. Over the favors of Nabi Sallallahu on this ummah, we reflect what he did for us, and what he did for us, what he did for us. On account of him, we got this blessing of Iman. Otherwise, we could have been in some mandir, drinking some urine and all that. We could have been doing all these things here. On account of him, we have been salvated and brought to this path here. So can't we allow our minds to think in that line and cry with his love? And with that, you don't have to read too much of the Rusya, 200, 300 is enough. But with that feeling, what he's done for us as a token of appreciation, and I'm doing this. So with what feeling? So these are the five things that you would do just to harness, to grow, and to promote that love within yourself. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare.